Coming to you live from a fogged out apartment somewhere in the United States, it's the TH Cinema Podcast. Welcome everybody to the TH Cinema Podcast. My name is Dan, and with me, as always, is the Barbie and Ken to my Alan.
Feels appropriate.
The adorable Mattel toy movie to my potential existential dread. I don't know, I haven't seen it yet.
Pretty close.
Snort.
Hi, Ken. Hi, Alan.
Silent John.
Hi, Barbie.
And Frank couldn't be here today. Lucky Frank.
Wait, no, I don't agree with that. Yeah. That sounds like an insult right off the bat.
No, I kid. This is going to be fun. So we just finished fogging out Barbie's dream house.
Hotboxing the Barbie Jeep.
There we go.
Yeah.
I like that. Very nice.
And today, obviously, we have reached the end of our summer days programming by coming to Snort's toy movie, which is
Barbie. Guys, how excited are we for this movie today?
I mean, I'm super excited. I think it's going to be a great time. But in full disclosure to all of our fans, we do need to like put something out there because Snort and Silent John couldn't resist the lore of Barbie this weekend. So they've already seen it.
So there was the Barbie blowout bash. And when you see tickets to the Barbie blowout bash, you have to go.
Yeah, the Kennergy was running very strong through my veins, and I couldn't deny the opportunity.
No, and I would never want you guys to because I'm sure it was a great time. But for the fans, like, Dan's the only one walking into this blind. And Snort and Silent John are going to kind of time travel back to before they saw it, before the Barbie Bash happened, pre-Barbie Bash. We're like in a Back to the Future before the Undersea Dance scenario here.
Yeah. Look, it's like nothing ever happened.
Like Silent John has said, there's a big time thing in one's life, and it's BB before Barbie. You're a changed person after this movie, so we're going to go back to BB, us. No spoilers.
Yeah, so we are going to be continuing our general tradition of no spoilers before the mid-break, and then after the mid-break, just doing the rest of the movie. So even though these two have seen it, they're going to dance around all the things that are the definites.
Yeah. So I think we need to talk about Barbie first.
Like the person?
No, the actual, like why this is my nostalgia movie. Because I loved Barbies. Absolutely loved them. I had so many when I was a kid. Like, you start off with having Barbies. And then I had Bratz dolls, but never as many as I had Barbies. And then there's a very specific time period. And if you were there, you know that Barbie had like a spinoff doll that was called like My Scene Dolls. But they were owned by like Barbie, you know? Very specific time. I had a lot of those too. Loved Barbies.
Were those little like emo Bratz dolls?
No, they were like teenagers. Like they were like in between Bratz and Barbie, you know, like more adult than Barbie, but not as like controversial.
A little
as
bit
Bratz.
More relatable to you.
Yes. Yeah.
So Snort, what you're really saying is you've been a Barbie head forever, essentially.
Yes. Like I was, you're just like kind of born into it, I feel like, whenever you're a little girl. But then even like after I was too old to like play with Barbies, I had like collector Barbies. I had like Barbie history books. Like I was in it, guys.
Barbie history books.
Yes.
Yeah, I gotta say, I don't think there's anything on the boys' side that cornered that market like Barbie has cornered the little girl market. There's no getting around it. If you're a toddler girl, preschool, first grader, second grader, you're playing with Barbies. There's no question if ands or buts.
Whoa, that's such a wild thing to think about. Like, for us as kids, Dan, like, in the boys' toy section, it was like anything you could ever dream of. Like, there really wasn't anything that cornered the market. Wow.
Yeah, wow. So many Barbies.
That's, I've just never thought of it that way.
But that's why I feel like I've been so excited for this movie. Like, on a personal note, and then just as a movie, it looks incredible.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that they hadn't tried it before in the 80s or some shit like that, you know?
Yeah, kind of like Super Mario Bros. Like, they could have easily found a way to just do some really cheap, cheesy kind of hunk of junk, and thankfully they didn't.
Well, and they even did, like, a Bratz one, like, in the 2000s.
Oh, that was like shitty CG?
Yeah, it was like, it was like Real Girls. Like, it was like a teenage movie. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm pretty sure I just listened to a How Did This Get Made episode on that movie like a week or two ago.
Yeah. So, but Barbie only had like the animated, like kids movies.
Yeah.
You know?
The animated adventures where she met unicorns and stuff.
Yeah.
Goddamn cornered the fucking market, those VHS tapes on a rotation.
That's one series I'm glad we didn't binge before this Barbie movie came out. Since we've been in such a binge type of watching currently.
Like, that's who Disney needs to look out for. Barbie's just been, like, under the fucking water a little bit, just following Disney around, watching it gobble up everybody else, got nice and fat, and it's just going to strike at some point. They had the fucking market demand the whole time.
That's why it released with Oppenheimer. They were just waiting to drop that bomb, baby. Or, excuse me, Barbie.
So, I've had a lot of Barbie exposure in my life, but as men, kids here, what is your guys' Barbie exposure?
Just Barbie and Ken as characters. That's about it. I don't know. Like, I don't, maybe my sister was into Barbies, but I don't remember them being around. And obviously I wasn't exposed to them. I don't.
Wait, did you say maybe? We just discussed how there is no maybe about that question. At some point your sister had Barbies.
I mean, sure. But I mean, I never saw them. I probably, yes, I don't disagree with that, but I just, maybe I didn't pay attention. I don't know. So I don't know much about the Barbie lore, if there's any other iconic characters or iterations of Barbies, like you were saying, Snort. I'm probably the unknown to that type of stuff.
Okay, so I did have a little sister. She's 18 months younger than me.
You played Barbies.
I played Barbies. I played Barbies, and I probably know a little bit more about Barbies than I should. Like, I know about the Skippers. I know about, like, the dream houses. I know what they look like, the pink, like, I know what it's supposed to look like from a toy perspective.
Yeah. Maybe some, like, fun outfits, like, famous outfits.
Maybe. I know some of, like, the famous, like, the astronaut one and, like, you know, like, costumey ones. I know those. I remember my sister had, like, a water park one.
Oh, that's
with,
fun.
Like, a slide and, like, pumping water down the slide.
Wow.
Nice.
I'd love to see a water park in.
Yeah. I had a lot of hand-me-down Barbies, but then, like, I would get new ones every once in a while, you know, and I never had, like, a Barbie dream house. Like, I always had, like, the cardboard ones. I never had the really big, cool plastic ones. I did have a Mycene convertible, though.
Mm.
That was a good one.
Dang, you were so, that explains maybe the Fast and Furious nowadays.
Yeah, but my favorite Barbie that I would play with, and I wouldn't, because also have a younger sister that's a year younger than me. I would hide this Barbie like under the bed. So I would be the one that would know where it was, and I would always get to be this Barbie. It was Baby Spice Barbie from the Spice Girl.
Of course it was.
So that was what you really, really wanted.
Exactly.
No, I remember my sister having a bunch of the, like, Native American, like, the collector ones in the big fat cases, you know? Like, all the different, like, the Eskimo and, like, you know, the 80s racist versions of a white lady in different ethnic costumes.
I definitely had shelves on my wall, like, when I was a teenager with my collector Barbies on there. And there was definitely an Edward and Bella Barbie dolls.
Tick.
Because why wouldn't there be?
I still have those.
Double tick.
Do you guys remember what was it, the NSYNC like little dolls?
Yeah.
Those weren't like Barbies, were they?
I think they might have had Barbie versions, but there was like definitely not Barbie versions.
See, yeah, I'm pretty sure they were knockoffs.
See, well, that's what I remember my sister having like on a shelf. But I didn't know if they could have been like a, oh, Barbie presents NSYNC. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think they were just a little bit larger than life.
That's the other one.
Damn it. Backstreet's back.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, and being a toy from the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and today, it's very surprising that Barbie didn't get like a huge live-action movie until this point. And I think it came out at the perfect moment. And that's the movie we're going to go see tonight.
I agree. I think everything, like all of the stars aligned for this movie. Like the perfect time for this movie to come out was now. It can do all of the things perfectly. Perfect director, perfect casting. Like everything with this movie is like aligned to work.
Yeah, if honestly, if you're, you know, a fan of movies, when this thing gets announced that this is a Greta Gerwig directed thing, you know, coming off of Lady Bird, a fantastic movie, Little Women, another iteration of a classic, like that instantly sells you. And then you cast Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling as Barbie and Ken. I mean, how do you not look at that and go, that is maybe one of the most perfect castings of all time?
Yeah, the movie probably waited for them to exist in the current state that they are in terms of fame so that they could be cast. It was just the prophecy was fulfilled.
Yes, like this was destiny. Like this moment has been destiny.
And at least for me personally, I guess it's just wild that we're living in the year 2023. And my excitement level is through the roof about the fucking Barbie movie. How did this happen? I don't get it.
Because they have marketed and hyped this movie. Like, the hype for this movie is everything. Like, think how excited we have been for everything that's come out about this movie. When the first pictures came out of Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling, the world lost its mind.
Yeah, you had all the little stamps, the Barbie stamps that was viral for a while. Yeah, a lot. Great trailers cut together. They've done a really good job just getting this into the public eye. But I think the public, again, after being around for this long without one, and that perfect moment of the goss and the go. That's what I say. That's
the goss and the go.
The goss and the go.
That sounds like a gas station.
Oh, the goss and go. The little N with the little tilde above it. Goss and go. It was all leading up to this moment, and I think it's going to be perfect. Like, I'm very excited to see it. I think I'm probably less excited than you guys were, BB.
Really? Why are you less excited?
Well, like, I just don't think I can attain the level of excitement you probably have, BB, walking into it.
Okay, that's fair enough.
It's definitely fair, because I feel like that's a lot of people's approach to this movie is just like, a Barbie movie, what are they doing that for? Having seen it, I'm definitely excited for your perspective on it, Dan. I can't say anything. There's just so many topics to dissect on the second half. But I think as long as you go into a movie like this with an open mind, there's so many delightful things you can take away from it.
Well, and like one thing going into the movie that I was really curious of how they were going to do it is, Barbie is like obviously iconic, but it's also like controversial. Like there's been a lot of like hate out with Barbie recently, you know, and fairly fair, you know?
Yeah. And over time, you know, unreasonable expectations for women's body image, subtle racism here and there.
There was an interview with Margot Robbie where I think she said it perfectly, that at times Barbie has been ahead of her time with, like, when it first came out, Barbie can be anything, you know? She can be an astronaut, she can be this, you know? But then also, Barbie has been way behind her times, you know?
And it's just like anybody. Like, you just continue on, but as long as you're continuing to evolve towards something better, which Barbie has done, that's how you maintain your market share.
And I feel like if there's anyone to, like, tackle that in a movie, you know, I trust Greta Gerwig to be the one to, like, nail it perfectly.
Yeah, I will say that when it was said, like, Greta Gerwig was doing this, like, I'm excited because she is a great director and everything. But I was very surprised that this was going to be like, because Barbie just seemed to be such, it would need to be so comical. Like, this is the same as like a comedian going and doing a sad movie.
It's very mainstream thing for an indie person, you know?
Yeah, yeah. This is definitely her first foray into doing more of like a, I guess I don't want to call it a blockbuster type of movie, but who knows? I mean, we're in its opening weekend and it's honestly crushing the box office. It's doing extremely well. But I think this was something that we need to see a little bit more, is bigger studios taking a chance on, you know, these more upcoming directors and giving them a little bit more creative freedom. That's one of the main things I'm really excited to dive into on the second half after you see it, Dan, is really the topic of that. Like, this is, in a sense, what you said, Snort, just like kind of catching lightning in a bottle on every ingredient that is blended together and every decision made was an excellent choice.
For me, it's like seeing somebody do the equivalent of the toy equivalent of a Marvel movie.
In a sense, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just very surprising that like they got her to do that and that it works. It works.
Yeah.
I agree with what John said. Like, I can't wait to see it. The lightning in a bottle aspect, like Snort described, is just so, it feels very strong walking into this, that it's just going to be perfect and it's going to be very meta and it's going to be very weird.
What are you most excited to see from this movie?
Not Michael fucking Sarah.
That was so much hate.
That pains me, Dan.
Okay, hold on. Can I talk about Michael Cera for a second?
Yeah, because I feel like there's some tension here that I need to learn about.
Okay, so I have a history of Michael Cera. Not personal, just like...
Just like a small vendetta?
Media-wise.
That seems very personal.
Did Michael Cera block you on Twitter or something?
No, nothing like that. No, I'm a little scared of Michael Cera.
The sweet, innocent Michael Cera?
Like, he's a clown to Snort to me a little bit.
But in what way? Please do explain.
Okay, so my first Michael Cera experiences were with Arrested Development.
Right.
Early on. And then Arrested Development ended and he went away for a while. And then he came back and he just looks like... There's something about him that just creeps me out because he doesn't look like he did as a kid. It's something fucking... He's uncanny valley to my brain.
He doesn't look the same. I feel like, to me, he kind of looks like somebody who like ages but also still looks like a kid at the same time. I don't know. He's just... He's Michael Cera. I have such a soft spot for Michael Cera.
There's something about him that just like, it so creeped me out. It's like puberty stopped halfway through it and just kept going.
Well, you ready to see him as a doll today now?
That might be the most uncanny valley thing ever for you. This could be worse than Megan, unfortunately. An uncanny valley.
Don't you say her name. Shit. Don't you say her name walking into this.
Just.
You motherfucker.
You can, I mean, bleep it in post if you have to. Do what you gotta do.
That means I gotta listen to it twice.
What if I told you that I absolutely loved Michael Cera in this movie? I thought he was one of the best characters. He serves his purpose very well. But at the same time, I have to come to reason that might not be your thing either.
I might take that gummy so I can take a nap.
No, you had to stay awake to see the gods.
I might go fucking scared goat and just fall asleep.
No, I need to like clockwork orange you during this thing. You cannot close your eyes for this eye candy of a movie. I need your Kenergy to be raised, Dan.
Yeah, you need some Kenergy. We're sending Kenergy vibes your way.
Can you feel it?
There's too much Michael Cera. I can't. I'm so scared.
You're going to do fine. I'll hold your hand. We'll get through this together.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, are we ready to go partying?
Let's go, Barbie.
I actually just beach, so...
I'm sure I'll get that in a second. Let's go watch Barbie.
And now, our feature presentation.
since Norton and John got the movie, I got the snacks, and we are back, and we just watched Barbie.
Guys, how good?
Dan, I need to swing it your way first.
I liked it.
That's it?
I liked it. I thought it was very fun. I thought it was very clever. I thought it was well acted. Ryan Gosling was a goddamn dream. It was a great film.
Yeah, Barbie is definitely a movie that I would have to say, for me, exceeded every expectation possible. To me, maybe a perfect movie. I think what you have in this movie is such a unique, and once again, snort like you said, lightning in a bottle. It's like they just hit on all cylinders. Everybody committed to the fucking bit. And yet in a movie that's so weird and wild and hilarious, there's a lot of points being made and a lot of existential reflections you have watching a movie like this.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that, like the ability for Barbie to be as weird and great as it was, came from Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like that showed that weird can be mainstream. You don't need to keep things in that mainstream mindset of appealing to the masses. You can make things a little bit weird and they turn out great.
100%. Like, in my opinion, I think Barbie makes a giant statement that the world honestly needs at a time like this.
Guys, hot take, but I feel like after seeing this for the third time now, I can confidently say that Barbie is in my top 5 movies of all time.
Which Twilight movie did it kick out?
The Twilight Saga is all grouped together.
Oh, that just sits at number 1 by itself, like A, B, C, D.
But this movie is so good. This movie is hilarious. It's made me cry. I feel like it's a very important movie, and it's perfect for this time. Like, I feel like this is the right time for me to see this movie, and it's perfect.
Yeah, I think the message that the Barbie movie put out was really good. It was really, I mean, somehow they mixed fucking universe jumping with a sweet message about a mother and a daughter reestablishing their relationship and womanhood in general and the fucking tribulations that women have gone through over the years, and how Barbie themselves even referenced back to their mistakes and were like, yeah, oops.
Which, and that was such another nice touch to see, is watching this movie, I at least had the sense, like, it's almost like Mattel was watching at the same time as me for the first time. Like, how they allowed some of this stuff absolutely blew my mind. You don't get brands on board with being so on the nose.
That's what I'm saying. The Mattel logo over the F-bomb in the movie, that's like, that was Simpsons level Fox, like, fuck you type stuff.
But it was so brilliant. And it just matches the tone in the chaos of Barbie.
And can we talk about that? How, yeah, this is one of my favorite movies of all time now. It has Margot Robbie, it has Ryan Gosling, you know. It also has Will Ferrell. Will Ferrell is in one of my favorite movies of all time now.
I didn't see you, like, shying away when Will Ferrell took the screen. And I could tell you were that enamored with this movie that you're willing to put up with Will Ferrell for it.
Yeah, that says a lot, honestly.
Yeah, that was the first question I asked Snort when we first saw it. I was like, okay, so I can tell you love it, but what was the Will Ferrell of it all doing for you? It was a positive reaction, and it really shocked me.
There was enough Barbie icing that the Will Ferrell cake didn't taste bad.
And I feel, yeah, like, you know, his character is just stupid and, like, made that way. So, like, I'm on board of not liking him.
Which, and I mean, he was just Will Ferrell, but this was maybe the best version of Will Ferrell. This is what this movie needed for, like, the corporate stooge.
Yeah, I like the whole corporate aspect. And like you were saying, like, making fun of Mattel, like, the whole, like, basement area where everything is dark and gray and everyone is locked in these little cubicles that they can't get out of.
Well, and, like, even, like, the boardroom kind of almost felt, like, cultish in a weird way, like how they would just, like, repeat what he said in unison. Oh, it gave me, like, the shivers.
And then the obvious of the only woman working there is a secretary.
Yeah, they really put the lens straight on the corporate. They even called it out. They were like, yeah, we had a female CEO once in the 90s.
Maybe twice, we think.
Maybe twice.
Well, I think we should start. We don't have to go beat by beat. We can go wherever we want. But let's start with the beginning, when we saw Barbie Land for the first time.
You mean when we saw the fucking Stanley Kubrick fucking 2001 A Space Odyssey with little girls in beige outfits?
I was just skipping over that part to get straight to Barbie Land.
That was the part where I'm like, okay, I'm enamored with this movie already.
This movie went every which way. They did everything, and it was so nice. As for the Barbie of it all, I mean, it's just absolute eye candy. When you get to the Dreamland, like, there's so many colors popping. There's so many. It's just the way everybody moves in Barbie Land. Like, it's so, like, uniform and human, but not.
Yeah, the production design, the costuming, everything just so fucking great in this movie.
Like, some of the best I've ever seen. Like, they made this universe of Barbie, like, this imaginary toy universe come to life.
Well, and even, like, the little special effects that they would do with, like, the stars kind of popping around. Yeah, or if, like, they would crash the car and it was, like, almost like Roger Rabbit-esque, like, smoke coming up. Like, it was small touches like that that was, like, fucking, this is cinema.
This is commitment to the bit.
Everything. They're committing to everything.
I fucking think that my favorite commitment to the bit in this entire movie was hands down Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I can't say that there's any doubt about that. This is most likely going to be my favorite performance of the year because of the commitment. He's flat out perfect at the casting, and then you get this performance, the mannerisms, the moves, the freakouts, like him like being in LA and like having like the man montage happen, his reaction to everything is just fucking brilliant.
Just his, he can make like the tiniest facial expression and it is so funny. Like this is, he was made to be Ken. Like he is Ken.
He was beyond phenomenal in this movie. I'm with John on this. My favorite Ryan Gosling performance, hands down, ever.
Okay, well then can we just talk about the musical performances?
Oh God. Okay, so the musical performances in this movie by one Mr. Ryan S. Gosling.
S for sexy?
S for smooth, like Rob Thomas. Because when they started fucking leaning into Push, I was just dying. There is no more of a fucking frat boy, dad boy fucking song that fits that. You could have thrown maybe a little bit of Creed in there, but goddamn. Rob Thomas's Push and the guitar. Oh.
See, and I agree. Creed is almost too on the nose. That's why I'm happy we got Matchbox 20. And then just the pan out where all the Kens are doing the same fucking thing.
It's so good.
But the giant musical number that happened at the end of the movie, and this is at the beginning of the podcast, but the giant musical number that happened at the end of the movie, just that's why Ryan Gosling is in this movie right there.
Well, and I think this is kind of like a discussion that Snort and I had after we saw it for the first time. They released a bit of this before the movie came out, and when we went to the blowout party, they played that bit right before they started the movie. It made no sense to me.
Oh, they spoiled that scene.
Yeah, I was just like, because I avoided it. I didn't watch it online. But then you get the extended version in the movie, and it's just like, knowing it's coming, and then you see where it's placed in the movie, it is essentially the climax. This is the culmination of everything, and it is maybe the most memorable of the year. I will never get this whole, from the battle to the grease of it all, I will never get it seared out of my brain.
I have been singing this song in my head and out loud since we heard it. Like, I can't stop. It just lives there now.
It's a goddamn earworm.
It's so good.
But yeah, like, when they started busting into the grease outfits and doing the fucking synchronized dance, I was just like, yeah, this is a film, goddammit.
This is cinema.
You honestly, you kind of, like, have your jaw dropped. You're just like, I shouldn't be surprised, but I'm still blown away. But it's also a nice callback to that man montage, because you get a little Danny Zuko in there.
Just a little bit.
Just a little tad.
Our other male pseudo lead in this movie is fucking Michael Cera. And oh, you know how I felt about that kid in Goosebumps last week?
Oh, no.
I really wanted Michael Cera to just get slapped.
You don't like Alan?
I do not like Alan. I was very disappointed when Alan was not the villain in this movie.
Is it because they just hired Michael Cera to play Michael Cera in this movie?
It's just Michael Cera, and he's so creepy.
But that's kind of like the point of Alan. You know, he's just kind of there. He's not a kid.
Yeah, I love Alan.
I just really wish he wasn't a kung fu master during that scene.
It's
and he would have just gotten one little, like, midway through. I would have been able to get through the rest of the Alan.
I'm so sad you didn't like Alan. I thought he was great, and it was nice because typically you would think Ken would be fighting dudes, all these mean construction guys. It was Alan's one moment he's probably had in that whole universe. Let him have it.
But the main attraction of the Barbie movie is obviously the woman herself, Margot Robbie as the Barbie.
She was just like Ryan Gosling and Ken. She was made to be Barbie. Like, she is so good in this movie. It blows me away. I've never seen, like, when you get to the middle of the movie and she's going through her crisis in the real world, you know, I've never seen someone, like, so realistic having a crisis.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds maybe weird to say. Maybe it doesn't, but it's almost like you could really tell, like, when she was a doll and when she was more human, like in just small little things she would do. Like, this might be my favorite Margot Robbie performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree completely. I love some Margot Robbie in general. I think she goes all in on everything she does. I've never seen anything that she's in that's been even close to mediocre.
Yeah, I agree.
And this is one where, you know, I think Gaga might be unseating my thought of Harley Quinn as Margot Robbie forever. But Margot Robbie will always be Barbie.
For sure. 100%.
And then we've got, like, the B story with America Ferrera and her daughter.
Which I love them. Like, I thought they were great.
Yeah, it was a very, very sweet, compelling story. And I liked the, I guess you call it a twist, that it was the mom who is, you know, essentially making Barbie malfunction. Because that just, maybe it's just me growing up. But it just felt like, damn, I've kind of gone through some feelings like that. Like, what can I dig up, you know, from the past to bring joy in my life?
Yeah, her going back to playing with the Barbies to try to recapture the joy of her and her younger daughter was very sweet. And I thought America Ferrera was so good in this. She was great. The big speech at the end to all the Barbies.
Yeah, can we talk about the monologue in this movie? Because this is the movie. This scene is what makes this movie for me.
Yeah, we're talking the no vagina monologues, because it's the Barbie monologues. They that joke like 3 times in the fucking movie.
You just lost me, though.
My nice blob under my pants over here.
They made that joke multiple times. Don't bust my fucking blob.
No, you just confused me.
You just started throwing vagina out there.
It's a Barbie movie. Somebody had to.
They certainly did.
Okay, the scene where Margot Robbie as Barbie is crying, saying she's not pretty and she's not good enough for everything, and then America Ferrera goes into her monologue, that is the movie. Like, that is the scene where I start crying every time, because who knew Barbie would be the most relatable character ever? You know, like, it's crazy. And then everything she goes through, I've never seen, like, such an empowering, like, womanhood speech, like, I feel like in a movie.
Yeah, that's the feminist version of, like, fucking Patton right there.
In a sense, yeah, it's definitely, like, this movie is such a comedic journey with very strong messaging that they're having you know, intertwine throughout, but it's like that moment, everything came to a halt, and was just like, no, sit down, motherfucker, and listen. Mm-hmm. And listen you do, and it's a very eye-opening thing. And it's one of those things you start to reflect on the real world. You're like, holy shit, Barbie, you make the most sense in 2023.
Yeah.
Yeah, that speech was beautiful. It just pretty much, I mean, obviously male gaze, whatever. But for me, it felt like it would encapsulate everything that it kind of feels to be a woman most of the time.
Yeah. Scratching the surface of it.
I do have to say, with obviously this being a strong feminist, you know, energy kind of movie, I do love kind of the story also being told, in a sense, for the men out there, to kind of just, like, not conform to society. You don't have to fall into these brainwashed little cults. Just be yourself.
You don't have to be a Ken?
You don't have to be a Ken. Find the Ken in you. Don't be like all the other Kens.
Find your own Ken. You could end up in Alan. You don't even know.
Yeah, I just think there's so many layers to this movie that who would have thought a movie about a toy would be like this?
Can be so impactful.
Yeah, I feel like it's an important movie that's about Barbie. It is, oh, it's so good.
Yeah, that's probably the most surprising thing about it. And I'm not saying surprising because walking into it, I knew it was going to be that. Like, it felt like it was going to be that, but the fact that you can make such an empowering message from a movie about a toy. Like, goddamn it, they had like 40 attempts at goddamn superhero movies to make some kind of impactful message, and they didn't do shit. One goddamn Barbie movie, and you correct the case?
I'm telling you, I feel like this movie has, like, unlocked something for me in... Even like, okay, this sounds very superficial and surface, but it's more than that. Like, even just like wearing pink, you know, I feel like it's unlocking that like feminine, like energy in me, you know, that's been gone for a while where it's just been like dark and hates the world, you know?
Well, I mean, there is sweatpants Barbie.
The depressed Barbie. Oh, I felt very seen.
That commercial in the middle of the movie is just the kind of meta shit that I wanted out of this movie. That we also can we talk about the Helen Mirren popping in over "Don't cast Margot Robbie" for what you're trying to say right now.
So it just makes it even more relatable, you know? Like, it's hilarious.
Yeah, fucking perfectly on the nose where it fucking needed to be.
This in a sense maybe was the Everything Everywhere of this year. Like, I'm blown away by a movie about toys. I know we've watched a lot of toy movies the past month, but this one, like, broke my brain, but not in a bad way, in such, like, a empowering kind of way. And I'm not even a woman. It's impressive. I found my Kenergy, though, guys.
You found it.
No, I do think that this is probably one of the best movies of the year, if not gonna be the best movie of the year. You've definitely got some Oscar contention inside of this with... the costumes, with the production, with the music, with the acting even, potentially. There's so much potential in this movie, too.
I'm definitely on the train of nominate both Gosling and Robbie and production design and song and costumes. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just becoming more optimistic with the strike going on. I know that sounds weird, but it just seems like Barbie has the right recipe right now to get a lot of nominations.
Yeah, I agree. And I think deservingly so. Fuck, throw Greta Gerwig in for director.
Yeah, 100%.
It can be her, fucking Scorsese, and Nolan.
That's a fucking good crowd to be in.
Yeah. What else would you like to talk about? This is your episode.
Okay, one more thing we could talk about. The costumes and the looks, okay?
I love the little bit where the costumes were flying through the air and they were putting the names of them.
It was so cool. Like, I almost wish there was, like, more of that just because I love seeing that. But it was so cool. I appreciate that little detail.
Which I'm sure, yeah, for you, Snort, you were probably eating pretty well being a Barbie fanatic.
Oh, yeah.
Was there any, like, Easter eggs that stood out to you on the third viewing or anything that you didn't catch maybe previously?
I mean, not really. It's just fun seeing them all, especially like in the very beginning scene, like right after the where she's giant and stuff, you know, and mm-hmm. then it shows all the Barbies up to now. You see a lot of like classic Barbies in there. But what was your favorite Barbie look and what was your favorite Ken look?
Oh, it's tough.
I mean, I'm going to go with Ken with the fucking Andrew Tate coat.
The mink.
Ew, we are not saying that name within this podcast.
Remember how I said censor something earlier? Just censor that name.
Mattel. For Barbie, I'm going to go with the... you know what? No, I'm scratching it. I'm going with both of them on the beach in the fucking rollerblade gear. For me, like being a older brother from the 90s, that's quintessential Barbie to me and Ken.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the hardest 90s Barbie you can get right there. I'm going to not say it the way you did, Dan, but I'm going to go with the Rockstar Mink Ken. There's just something about the headband and the fanny pack with his name, specifically in the Metallica font. So cool. For Barbie, though, it might be the, like, the what is it, the cowgirl one?
Western Barbie.
The Western one? That one was really fun.
Yeah. I think Western Barbie and Ken are my favorites, but also a very quick one they do is Camping Barbie. I do love that one a lot.
Oh, when they were passing through the portals?
She has her little headband on. Oh, it's so cute.
I specifically paid attention this time. I saw it. I did really love every time they would go from real world to Barbie land. What just a visual spectacle. And then the transition from when they get to their rollerblades and it goes from Barbie land, they just instantly, whoo.
Yeah, like all the little set pieces start popping up and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Will Ferrell's whole little crew on the fucking little bike got me. I thought that was funny as shit.
Just kept going. Yeah, I don't know how I haven't mentioned this to you in the other two viewings, Snort, but did you appreciate when America Ferrera hit the NOS in the fucking race?
Yeah.
She's trying to get away from the Mattel team.
Yeah, there was a goddamn car chase in this Barbie movie.
There was a foot chase in the Mattel headquarters.
Yeah,
there was some parkour going on.
Yeah, let's just go over the cubicle. It's totally easier. Fuck you, Will Ferrell.
And Ryan Gosling goes flying through the air.
This whole movie, just a complete delight.
Oh, no.
I love how when he flipped through the air, it looked like when you threw a Barbie in the air. He just kind of tumbled.
He goes, Barbie, did you see that?
This movie really was just like, I feel like such a surreal movie going experience, and I think this is why I'm okay just seeing it over and over and over again on the big screen. Like, I just don't know if we'll see something like on this magnitude again. Like, this is a phenomenon that is going to try to be replicated with other brands and IPs, I'm sure, but I just don't see a world where people just nail it the way they did with Barbie.
I will say I was a little disappointed to not see a little bit more Mattel crossover. Like, I was hoping when they went through portals, they went through, like, G.I. Joe World or, you know, something like that.
Mm. Would have been an easy thing to do, yeah, with the way the art structure was, too.
But speaking of G.I. Joe World, fucking John Cena the Mermaid.
How funny.
So unexpected, and I loved it.
I've never seen him with long hair, and he kind of just looks like a Greek god in a weird way as a merman.
Yeah, did you guys have a favorite, like, side Barbie? Or Ken.
Yeah, I really liked a couple of the other Kens, honestly. Simu Liu, the guy, the Shang-Chi Ken, I really liked him a lot. I think he was a good like counterpart to Ryan Gosling's Ken, just egging him on the whole time.
Oh, yeah, when they got into a little like dance fight.
Well, and obviously how they just want to beat each other off. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, you're a Ken. You got to beat your other Kens off.
That's all we know is beach. Well, only one of them.
When he was running around doing his little job applications and stuff. But I'm a man.
He's just such a scene stealer in this movie. And I feel like we got the perfect amount of Ryan Gosling, but I mean, I wouldn't have been mad with a little bit more.
What did you think of Weird Barbie?
Oh, Kate McKinnon was just perfect for Weird Barbie.
Yeah, I'm not normally on her wavelength like all the time, but I thought she fit the Weird Barbie perfectly.
Oh yeah, she definitely brought some Weird Barbie energy to that role.
And her whole, like, house was just phenomenal.
Yeah, the Picasso of a fucking Weird Barbie house.
Yes. And then, like, when they knock the map down off the wall, I just thought that shit was so cool. Every practical thing in this movie is just throw the Oscars at it, please.
Before we wrap up our fucking Barbie review and our Summer Days thing, we do need to touch on the post-credits scene of the Barbie movie after everything wraps up nice and pretty and everybody in Barbie Land gets equal rights.
You mean pre-credit scene? It's still in the movie.
Oh, yeah. Pre-credit scene. It's still in the movie. Yeah,
Marvel got you.
The pre-post-credit scene. Because, as I mentioned earlier, like, we talk about vagina a little bit in this movie, but Barbie straight up goes to the gynecologist to cap off this movie. I don't know how I felt about that. That felt a little out of place.
No, best way to end the fucking movie. You know why? Because vaginas are powerful. And it's ending the fucking movie.
I think it's just going to keep adding to my Barbie best list. Maybe the best ending of the year because it's going to be so memorable. Because when you think about this movie as a whole, you laugh so much, but then they pull you out of it and tug on those heartstrings. What do we get right before that? The culmination, you know, the, what is it, the the footage of all like the young women.
Yeah, like the clips of the women. I love that scene. Yeah.
Was that with like the Billie Eilish song?
Yeah,
playing?
Yeah.
It's such like a that feels like such like a heartwarming, like good ending. But what is the structure of the movie? Every time you get that, you cut instantly to something really, really funny. And what is funnier in a movie with such Barbie energy than a gynecologist joke?
Okay, maybe it's because I've been Marvel-tized so much. And in my brain, like, they rolled that little montage and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And then that happened. And in my head, I'm like, ooh, post-credits scene. This is setting up the sequel. And I don't know, Barbie 2, A Visit to the Gynecologist, is probably not something I'm going to go see. Or something I'm really going to go see, one of the two, depending on the trailer.
Would you watch Ken get a physical?
Oh yeah, turn your head and cough, Ryan Gosling, please.
That's not the right energy for this in this episode.
Grab some blob.
I guess that also raises one final good question. Do you see a sequel? Do you want a sequel?
No. No.
No, I think it needs to just be left alone.
I agree. I saw some rumblings earlier today just because of how good it's doing in its opening weekend. You know how these companies get. More money. I'm hoping it's not the case, though.
Yeah, I don't think I could watch a sequel of this in any matter just because this one was so good. I wouldn't want it to tamper on or make it feel like it was, you know.
What about if it was just a Ken movie, though? It was called Ken.
Like a Ken prequel.
Or it's called Just Ken.
It's perfect.
Just Ken. I might watch that. I might watch a spinoff of the Ryan Gosling.
That's kind of tough to turn away, but I don't know. It just, can you replicate it, you know?
Well, that's what you do. You call it Barbie 2, Ken's Journey to Self-Discovery. And it's just him, like, going off and trying to find himself.
You guys are going to start hyping me up. Stop it.
I mean, I don't hate it.
I'm just Ken.
Well, I'm just happy that this was the movie that I was looking forward to the most this year. And I'm just really happy it lived up to it. Like, it surpassed my expectations by far. And they were really high for this movie. And like I said, it's made my top five favorite movies of all time now.
Yeah, this is definitely, as of now, number one of the year. And there's a strong chance it stays at that spot. It's a fantastic movie. I've seen it 3 times, probably going to see it 3 more at least before the week's over. It's Sunday. We'll see. I had a blast. It just gets better and better with each viewing.
Yeah, I think it was a phenomenal movie as well. And I'm very excited that this was the capper to our summer days collection, where we explored the nostalgia of our youths and also women's power.
Yeah.
It was a nice little itch to scratch.
But that is going to close out our summer days programming. And what a fucking nice little break. But Snort, what do we got lined up next? What's going on?
Well, guys, pack your bags because we are going to theater camp.
Oh.
Yay. Woo.
Yay.
Guys, I have been wanting to do a musical series for so long. Here's the thing that you may not know about us. We fucking love musicals, and we've never reviewed a musical.
That's very true. We do like a musical. I mean, I think, you know, maybe Team America World Police might be a little bit of
no,
a...
No.
Just gonna put the kibosh on that.
But we've got a whole month of them coming up.
Well, Snort, since you're going to be the camp counselor for this excursion to theater camp, what do we have coming up first?
Well, guys, I thought moving to theater camp from summer days, I would kind of still stick with like a nostalgic movie that's a musical, though. So we are going to watch the Disney Channel original movie, High School Musical.
Oh, no. Why?
You're joking, right?
Have you guys ever seen it before?
Fuck no.
Oh, on repeat. This is one of my... I've never seen this fucking movie before. And I thought I was going to live out all my days never seeing this movie, much like Twilight 1 and Twilight Last.
This one gets me too. I feel nothing.
I think it will be a hilarious episode.
I mean, I did make you watch Team Merc World Police, so yeah. It's got to come back around.
And guys, you realize that it's going to be sing-alongs for theater camp, right?
Wait, we have to sing?
I mean, I'm going to be singing along.
I don't know the songs, though. Are you going to teach them to us?
I guarantee you there's a karaoke version.
Oh, yeah, there's a sing-along version on Disney Plus, I'm sure.
Don't speak that to existence, please. We don't need that. We don't need that. No, it'll be fun. It'll be fine. I love musicals. I can't wait. I love some musicals.
So there you have it, folks. Next week, we are going to be watching High School Musical in our introductory episode into our theater camp excursion. So if you want to follow along and listen to Dan just fucking hate his life next week,
make sure to follow along on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at Teach Them On Podcast. Make sure to give us 5 stars, leave a review everywhere you can listen to us at.
Yeah, and that is going to do it for this week. So if you see one Barbie, one Ken, and one Alan walking out of Barbie Land into the real world through some really fucking crazy fucking visuals, and they're really, really high, come over and say hi. That might just be us. Okay, bye.
Bye, Ken.
You are all Knuff.
And today we're seeing a movie called The Barbie Movie.
Yeah.
That's a poor intro. There's no segue. I just forgot where we were in the talking block.
We were talking about toys. Barbie toys.
The toy of it.
So we just finished smoking some fucking ganja.
We foraged far and wide and only got the best.
What is happening?
Off the rails. I'm going to redo that one. No, back it up, Dan. Fuck you.
We smoked ganja. We never called it that.
It sounds cool.
I was looking for another one.
I like it. Ganja.
I've been listening to some reggae this week. Don't get on me. John, reggae is this close to ska.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Guys, don't worry about a thing.
I'm on a downward ska spiral. I'm going to be skanking it up by the end of the week.
I don't really feel like that's a bad place to be, though.
No, there's trumpets. It's fun.
What is that?
Guys, come on. It's party time. We need to get prepared.
All right. Well, what time are we at, Timekeeper John?
Like, now you mean record or physical actuality time?
Well, like the both of them.
3:11.
Da-da, oh, like the band.
All mixed up. I don't know what to do.
So just get off of your ass.